This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California, side two of tape 422, January the 4th, 1980. As I said on the other side of the tape, with the exception of the Washington Post article and the New York Times article one day, there was nothing about the expose of the assassination team cover-up, the bribery cover-up in Washington, D.C., or the Senate investigation covering up the truth about the briberies and payoffs and the assassinations. This has been suppressed in every newspaper that I take, and I'm reading about 10 papers a day. As a matter of fact, when this information came out that first day in a court in Washington, D.C., the CIA came in and slapped a silence on the case. They've sealed off all the documents and information and asked the judge to withhold from this. It's a divorce trial that's going on where it came out. A judge, Orrin Lewis, a federal district court judge in Alexandria, Virginia, not in Washington, ordered the CIA statements by Mr. Lay to be kept secret, and the attorneys have been forbidden to disseminate any of the substance or statements that he was talking about. Now, none of this material that came out that one day is part of a CIA case. They're not involved in the court case at all as CIA people. They're just two individuals involved that happen to be CIA members, and this information came out. There has been blockage of the news, but you could see why, because at a time like this that the president wants national unity, those darn assassinations and payoffs keep surfacing. And again, it's the team of Nixon and Kissinger, and then the continuation of Kissinger and Rockefeller with the control of Jimmy Carter. There's a linear connection there because of the trilateral Nelson-Rockefeller group selecting Jimmy Carter as president. And you could see why they would want him in office, to keep the lid on all their past crimes that have to be covered and tidied under. You know, it's like having the house cleaning girl. Every week you take everything, or daily, and hide all the dirt and sweep it away so nobody sees it. And it's very important to keep that team right up in there in Washington so all of this information doesn't burst out and some inquisitive reporters don't get on it. So far, that Korean story has been concealed. Now, the other story, the main story that I want to talk about, is two articles that came out in December 24th and December 25th in the New York Times. Several newspapers out here just had the slightest mention of this information, and it has to do with international gun running and weapons, assassination teams, as I mentioned before, with front offices in Washington, D.C., New Jersey, Panama, Paris, and London. It has to do with these radical terrorist groups, or the so-called bad guys, who are actually connected to the Central Intelligence Agency, the FALN, the Puerto Rican terrorists, the anti-Castro Cubans, and the CIA, Uganda and Idi Amin, Libya, Palestine Liberation Organization. These people are being funded with weapons from, in quotes, former CIA Green Beret agents, and this has to do with violence all over the world, from Washington, D.C. to California. I don't think we'll have a chance to list all of their violences, and it also has to do with Scotland Yard, Exxon, and Mobil Oil Companies, and of course those are Standard Oil. And then we get back to Rockefeller and Nelson Rockefeller and David Rockefeller and the oil companies as being linked to these national terrorist rightist groups. They're being supplied bombs and weapons and are doing murders for them and around. The terrorism is an excuse for police, and police enhance their power because the people have less chance to speak up or revolt against them. The New York Times headline story was December 24th, 10,000 guns, agents seized two in city, that means New York City, in $2 million machine gun sale. The New York Daily News had the headline on this was ex-CIA agent held in $2.5 million arms deal. The San Jose Mercury had a small article, two arrested for selling 10,000 guns. The New York Post top story was gun runner bust linked to FALN, that's a Puerto Rican radical group. And then the San Francisco later ran a little article, two accused in a $2 million arm scheme. Our Monterey Herald describes ex-CIA New Jersey's firm's boss charged as gun runner. Now, it's this New Jersey firm, that supplies weapons and security for ExxonMobil and Scotland Yard. The weapons mentioned in some of these articles were briefcase bombs, letter bombs, hand grenades, poison darts, firearms, booby traps, silencers for assassinations, .22 caliber silencers made specifically for assassination teams. Now, at the New York Hilton Hotel, the two men were arrested, a Frank Edward Turple, who was a CIA agent until 1971, and these articles are careful to say that he was fired or left the CIA, discrepancies here, in 1971. Now, that's the same year that Agent James McCord and E. Howard Hunt left the CIA. 1971 is when they left the CIA. They'd worked there for 20 years and 18 years, the two of them. And then they went on, and McCord opened an office called McCord Associates, which was a private firm, which was 100% CIA agents. And then E. Howard Hunt went to work for the White House as 100% CIA agent. So leaving the CIA in 1971 and branching to world terrorism with rightist organizations, with this anti-Castro Cubans and various violences around the world, is consistent as with the Operation Chaos, the COINTEL program, and the plans that Richard Nixon had domestically and internationally for us, and with the assassination teams that had put him into power. It took the deaths of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King, with the riots that followed that escalated Nixon into power that he wanted so badly and couldn't get until he achieved it over the corpse of these various people. Frank Turple is former CIA, 40 years old, lives in McLean, Virginia. The CIA refused comment about him. He has provided arms to Libya. He supplied millions of dollars, $3.2 million in weapons to Uganda. Idi Amin, of course, that was silenced up. Recently, the CIA team that assisted Idi Amin, a man came back to Oregon when Amin left office, and he was part of the basketball team and the CIA entourage. The United States can supply Idi Amin just like they do of Shah of Iran, and call them, they're called publicly the bad guys, but $3.2 million in weapons was sold to Amin by the CIA, by CIA agent Turple alone. And Turple would travel to Uganda every 3 months. He was selling communication equipment. And the cover for Turple is the Oceanic Corporation in Washington, D.C. Now, being as there are just several articles out, and this just started breaking last week, if it had the momentum of Watergate, if we didn't have the Iranian and Afghanistan crisis, there could be more people going into the Oceanic Corporation. So to find the links to the Central Intelligence Agency, if this links to Letelier, because this group also worked with the anti-Castro Cubans, if it links into the murder of Letelier or Sandra Moffat or Colonia Dignitat down in Chile that we've done tapes on many times with their assassination teams and weapons, if we make that final connection of the Oceanic Corporation or the Amstec Corporation, the electronic firm in New Jersey, you have the worldwide network of that Odessa, the Nazi organization, the assassination teams, killing heads of state, civil rights leaders, and bombing radical bookstores and so forth all over the world. This is a network which could make very important connections, because you have Reverend Moon, the Korean CIA, with their assassination teams that this gentleman was talking about in his divorce case there in Virginia this last week. And then these arrests combined to make a very important network. A third man was involved. He was arrested but not held on the gun charges. He's held as a material witness, and Don Dutcher, along with Frank Turple and George Carcola, the third man, is a self-proclaimed assassin. He's a hired hitman. They released him. If they know he's an assassin, they haven't said who he's killed or what assignments he gets or how he gets them. Of course, that hasn't come out yet. This Turple, as I say, was close to Amin. George Gergari Carcola, was the other man arrested as a co-conspirator. Now, he got around New York City with diplomatic plates. He has an automobile from the United Nations registered under the Uganda mission, and he's the owner of the Amstec Corporation, an electronics firm, which was raided by the FBI in New Jersey, that had the weapons and silencers and so forth. I'm wondering if the weapons for Jonestown came from the Amstec Corporation in New Jersey. There were a group of people that were linked to Georgetown at the time of Jonestown that also died in New Jersey. I don't want to branch too far off of that, but you can see that the connecting links, those of you that are familiar with the past research can see as I relate what's in these several articles, some of the things that are going through my mind. They also supply weapons for the Palestinian Liberation Organization, and the CIA is a very anti-Semitic, rightist organization that would be funding the PLO to take pot shots and attack Israel. They sold an undercover agent in New York City a .22 caliber long rifle, especially designed for assassinations. And again, the question is, who made the rifles? Was it Mitchell Werbel? And some of these rifles came from England, some from the United States, but who is making them? Because Werbel was supplying assassination weapons, and of course his location is in Georgia, not far from Jimmy Carter's home. These gentlemen had, the CIA had a hotel that was Hunter's Lodge Hotel. It was purchased by Mr. Turpel in 1978 for $500,000. That was just last year in Crewe, England. And this lodge held fellow agents. It's run by a man named David Jenner, who works for Turpel, and he has not been arrested. Scotland Yard went there and raided the place and took out information and weapons, but said they believed that this was a CIA hotel and safe house. Turpel had two hotels and two private homes. There are four safe houses in England that are linked to the New Jersey firm, and they also have offices in Washington, D.C., and in Paris, and in Panama. And, of course, we have the London connections of Jonestown with Tim Stone and Terry Buford and Jim Jones. And the formation of Jonestown was formed by a representative from London going down there. Remember my earlier tapes on London. And, of course, there was gun running and assassination teams and money from Jonestown, not only in London and in Paris, but in Panama, millions of dollars. And, of course, this team, according to these several articles, have offices in Panama and Paris, four safe houses in London, a CIA front for electronics equipment in New Jersey, and an Oceanic Corporation in Washington, D.C. I'm repeating some of this to tie it together as I go along the loose end so you begin to get the picture. Frank Turpel was an important man. He claims, as he was posing to the agents who arrested him, they were disguised as Latin American revolutionaries. He claimed credit for training the terrorists who killed the 11 Israeli athletes at the 1972 Olympic Games. Of course, I have files on massacres, CIA violences, and so forth in Munich, Germany. It was a perfect place to kill those 11 Jews and get away with it. And these men are claiming that they were part of this terrorist activity. If Mr. Turpel left the CIA in 1971, it's interesting that in 1972, when these murders took place, he had trained those terrorists, because that must have been just at the point where he was slipping out of the CIA role and was not in any private business at that time. He was involved with international violence and terrorism and anti-Semitic attacks against 11, you know, Israeli athletes, just young people innocently going to the Olympic Games. This George Kerkola, 38 years old, is president, as I say, of Amstec International. And he's a former ex-Green Beret, if there's such a thing. He heads mercenary squads. He has an 11-member mercenary squad where he trains for assassinations and murders, and his headquarters are in New Jersey. During World War II, IG Farben had their factories in Nazi concentration camps at Auschwitz. I say that Pope John Paul II is the Polish Pope from Auschwitz. Farben also had headquarters in New Jersey, so that if the Hitler lost the war or if communication broke down of the Nazis in Europe during that time period, they would have their offices in New Jersey, which they did have for their dyes, international dye cartels, and international terrorism. Pope John Paul II was out this week, January 1st, in the news, the New Year's wish, to slow down the arms race, and he condemned international terrorism and the nuclear arms race. And yet, international terrorism is directly linked to John Paul II. He doesn't like it when the left legitimately might want to have vengeance, or the people in Iran have vengeance against the Shah and the Savak and the CIA and the United States, and took the hostages out of anger and frustration. that is called anger and frustration. It is hardly called, I don't call it terrorism. I call it a last stand of desperate people who are not heard by anyone. I wonder just how tight the Pope's IG Farben connections go to this agency in New Jersey. I'm giving you my thoughts on this because, as I say, the story's just broke, and there's no Woodward or Bernstein there back there working on it, and I'm giving you the feelings just as I had the minute they were arrested at Watergate. I had a pretty tight command within 3 weeks to publish Why Was Martha Mitchell Kidnapped? These articles are important. As I say, John Dutcher, the self-proclaimed assassin, is not under arrest, I understand. He's described as a soldier of fortune who agrees to train clandestine armies, and they use the weapons that are sold by Turple and Corcola. Now, I don't know if Oceanic Corporation in Washington, the CIA front is for Turple, is a weapon manufacturer. According to the news reports, Corcola's Amtec International is electronics, supplying securities, I say, for Exxon, Rockefeller, Mobil, and Scotland Yard. I mean, I just so outrageous, I can't say it enough. But here's this assassination team of soldiers of fortune, ex-Marine, ex-ex, put quotation marks, Green Beret, CIA, and I wonder, besides electronic equipment, just as I say, who makes the weapons, or is it Mitchell Werbel, this Nazi czarist who left, he's a white Russian who left the Russian, his family left, and he came to this country after the Bolsheviks came in, the communists took over, and he's been training assassination teams and setting up terrorist organizations and weapons and training in Georgia. He flies all over the world and sets up international terrorism. The arrests were made in New York City because there was a group studying the anti-Castro Cuban group, the Omega 7. The Omega 7 have been claiming responsibility for bombings in New York City and across the country, and the arrests were made because of the suspicion that these people were linked to the anti-Castro Cuban group and the Omega 7. I may not have time on the tape this week if I just talk about the arrest at the Hilton Hotel to go into the connecting link of Reverend Moon to the anti-Castro Cubans and the violence in New York City and across the country, but I will, if I don't do it this week, get into an article that was written by Jeff Stein in New York Magazine last September called An Army in Exile, and it talks about the Cuban terrorists just across the Hudson River over in New Jersey and the headquarters for anti-Castro Cuban activity and violence, and that bombings would come from this group. As a matter of fact, the article in New York Magazine said the Letelier assassination was carried out by members of a fascist New Jersey-based group known as the Cuban Nationalist Movement. Credit for the bombings came out of a Mr. Negrin's office. The group called itself Omega 7. The Muniz murder was claimed by the group calling itself CERO, C-E-R-O, or its English equivalent, Zero. These are Cuban exiled terrorists, the Omega 7, CERO, the Cuban Nationalist Movement. It says such terrorism continuing into this decade has grim traditions such as it had after the Bay of Pigs and the Watergate days, and it goes into the Letelier killings. Now, we know that the Letelier killings were partly organized by the assassination teams down in Chile with, that's the Martin Bormann Mengele's Nazi headquarters at Colonia Dignidad that I have linked to the Jonestown assassination teams. Many of you who don't have the tapes on Jonestown, Colonia Dignidad, have to get those, the links to Germany and international Nazism, to put this together. But over in New Jersey, a company that supplies for Exxon and Mobil and so forth, and anti-Castro Cuban Watergate violence, bombings from New York, California, and I have a list of 20, 30, 40, 50 violences they have done, which again I'll have to put next week. We won't have time on this tape because I want to set this background firmly that these men were arrested at the Hilton Hotel in New York City this last week, that they have been supplying millions of dollars for Idi Amin. They've been supplying around the world to Uganda, to Libya. The CIA weapons are involved, CIA safe houses in Great Britain. There is this connecting link. I should just have a map of the world, a globe, maybe a little one on the sheet next week, and mark off where these agencies or offices are, or maybe you can get a map of the United States, a stationery store or a bookstore, and begin to mark some of these things I'm saying on the tapes, like in Chile, the Colonia Dignidad area in Chile, and the London, the Scotland Yard, the New Jersey, Uganda. If you get that, you can see this network that has been set since World War II coming together, these violences that are coming together, and each little arrest or suppression of the news media shouldn't be allowed to curtail the importance of this connecting link of fascism. And the important thing is that what we call terrorists from the left, the FALN, the Puerto Ricans, are connected to the anti-Castro Cubans, and that the bombings at airports, at LaGuardia Airport, Francis Tavern in New York, the bookstores in California, the bombing of the Rosenberg Sons at a rally in California, endless violence as a secret army organization linked to Richard Nixon in the White House, down in San Diego at the time of Watergate. They were planning to kill Richard Nixon right then, but Louis Tackwood blew the whistle on that, the agent for the LAPD, so they slid him out at Watergate in 72 instead of killing him at the conventions. This is a network, and two of those people were arrested. Now, you can imagine how large the network is if just two men were arrested in New York City last week. I mean, this is a multi-million dollar worldwide net, and I'm just going to talk about what came out in the articles just this last week, and except for the two that I had, the New York Daily News and Post were sent to me from listeners in New York, friends in New York, and all of you back there, send me your information, because we're getting absolutely nothing out of here except a one-inch, two-inch article the day the men were arrested, and I just mentioned the title. Keep sending the articles you have. This Mr. Turple opened a company in Paris in 1971 for the purpose of supplying and training terrorist organizations. 1971 was the year, as I say, when Hunt and McCord left the CIA, and he went to Paris. Now, all the members of the SLA, the bulk of them, were Central Intelligence agents that came to California in 1972 to set up their infiltration of all the leftist organizations in California. You have to read my article, The SLA is the CIA. If you don't have it, you can send for it. It was published in 1974. It's the background of terrorism and Nazi connections in the United States and international connections. Well, people of the SLA, such as Angela Atwood, William Harris, Colston Westwood, Willie Wolfe, were all in Europe before they came to California in 1972, a good hunk of those people. In 1971, the office was set up in Paris by Mr. Turple of the CIA to supply and train terrorist organizations. Those would be terror on the right that would infiltrate the left. The left is blamed for terror. The CIA is supplying the weapons and the bombs and the silencers and the trained assassins. Sans A. Mercury had one article talking about John Dutcher, the soldier of fortune, the proclaimed assassin, and described him as an ex-Marine who served time in Vietnam and was an ex-Marine. They also described George Kerkola, the man who has the electronics firm in New Jersey, as being of the Green Beret, that he was this freelance military specialist, that one of his jobs was to harbor fugitives, sell illegal weapons. He trained terrorists and military into military activities, and used a series of front companies throughout the world. It's interesting that the few articles that I have from the New York Daily News, the New York Post, the New York Times, and then the local papers here, our local papers maybe have like a two-inch column, but it has something that the Eastern paper didn't have. And I want to take notice now, as of January the 4th, 1980, I haven't seen the Washington Post articles on this subject. Some of my papers from the East were held up because of the New Year's holidays, and they're piled up here, and I haven't read all of them. So as of this date, I have not seen anything from the Washington newspapers about Mr. Turple and his Oceanic Corporation stationed right in Washington, D.C. As I said before, some of the front businesses are located, these serious front companies, in Panama, Paris, and Washington, and London, the safe houses. And of course, the question of the England and Panama, the Jonestown money, a lot of it in Paris, Panama, and London, which is exactly where these fronts were. Millions of dollars were involved. Remember, Jim Jones ended up with approximately $26 million in 14 international banks where they were training assassination teams, and they were also having people sign false confessions to having committed assassinations that later could be planted. They were unsigned, and somebody could sign their name to them. They confessed assassinations. The assassination teams, and I've talked about this over and over again, are still at large, and I'm wondering if they have been trained by Frank Turpel and George Kerkola as part of terrorism around the world, and then they return back to London safe houses and the hotel in London or New Jersey or Paris to their headquarters when they splintered. Where did they go, and are they linked to this group? Remember when Jim Jones was ready to die, and he asked the people, he talked about 1,200 people that would die, and they had the passports for many more than actually died there, 923 that died. So approximately 170 escaped. A boat was taken off to the Barbados. People, the assassination teams that turned the bodies over face down, have all escaped. And have they gone back to these offices where the money was? Here's Paris, London, New Jersey, Washington, D.C. Have they split? And are they getting ready for violences in other places? And what is the Panama connection? Torquillos is down there. The Shah is there. The international banking concerns, the terrorism that comes out of Panama. What are the investments of Jim Jones in Panama, the millions of dollars? Was it Terry Buford, I believe, who made the deposits? Who has the money? Does the money go back to Mr. Frank Turpel and John Dutcher and Mr. Kerkola? How are they linked? Are they linked to the millions of dollars, the weapons, the drugs, the experiments in Jonestown, the assassination teams, and again to the Chilean connection, this network of people throughout the world, but these strategic areas keep coming through over and over again with the same modus and the same modus operandi. In my first article, published article after 8 years research called Why Was Martha Mitchell Kidnapped, I talked about the denial of the CIA when they're caught red-handed. Their first obligation is to deny that they know who they are. Remember, Richard Nixon and John Mitchell didn't know who James McCord was, even though he's chief of security for the committee to reelect the president. It was on the Pentagon panel for emergencies in the United States. When he was arrested at Watergate, they denied they know him. It's disavowal. I don't know who you are, and they don't associate with him. Mr. Turpel, according to these accounts, now that he's arrested, was, in quotes, fired by the CIA and joined Mr. Kerkola as a partner 3 years ago. I don't know whether or not that's true. The Watergate story cover-up certainly were exposed as time went on. And as I said before, McCord Associates was a dummy front sent in 1971. Operation Chaos was an international group with the National Security Council, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the CIA, the FBI, the Army, combining domestically for terror and infiltration of all organizations, whether it was the lesbians, the gays, the women's movement, the American Indians, the blacks, neutralized the leaders, the United Prisoners Union. I talked about Popeye Jackson last week that was a victim of this group, and Richard Ober of the CIA in charge of Operation Chaos worked with James Angleton domestically. The way the CIA worked in the United States to make it legal was that if they had terrorism and links to international terrorism as a suspected connection, they could infiltrate in this country because they weren't supposed to work domestically. It should be obvious to everybody that the CIA practically runs every branch of this country, but terrorism was the excuse. So setting up this so-called left terrorism was an excuse to continue the bombing on the right. Unfortunately, the tape isn't long enough to go into these worldwide connecting links. Next week, I'm going to pick it up where I left off here and ignore some of the cataclysmic world events because they're getting pretty good coverage, and continue with the update of the arrest of these men in New York City and see how much news has come out since this week. Terribly important stories, the Korean expose, the CIA agent of the assassination teams and their cover-up coming from that end. This assassination team and the cover-ups by the media coming from this end and linking the two together through Moon and the anti-Castro Cubans and the Nazi money. We'll continue that on next week, tighten it up, clarify a little, but I want you to know what's happening with all this material now. Take care, and I'll be back with you next week. It's Mae Brussel in Carmel, California.